such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The winds have changed. Read the signs. No time to hide. The winds have changed.
Millennia ago, from the little cave on the tiny island of Patmos in the Aegean Sea, the heavens opened. Since then, the world has been fascinated by the cosmic upheaval brewing on the horizon of history. The upheaval is now upon us. It is within us. To some degree, it always has been. But there has been a sudden and violent shift in the affairs of the world. The winds have changed. Heaven will not be silent. Let's now join Father Anthony Bush, pastor of St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago, and author of A Mother's Plea, For the Winds Have Changed. Together we can pave the way for a hopeful response to the signs of our times.
Hi, everybody, and welcome. Hi, Christina. We missed you yesterday. Yeah. I don't think we even mentioned
That's okay.
Christina.
Poor thing. I was busy at the school.
You were.
trying to get something done.
So anyway. But welcome. We're happy to have you back. And
thank you, Bob.
Tony and Nick on the other side, and all of you out in this beautiful land of Chicago where the sun shines.
And beautiful weather.
Beautiful outside. I haven't been out. As beautiful as it was yesterday, I didn't get out at all.
No.
And you have
so
to do it
nice.
Today.
And today is the same. It's nice.
I've got I'm making a sick call after the show, and I've got a couple of appointments outside, so I definitely will be on the road, and I'm looking forward to it. I mentioned to the kids that today at Mass, today at Mass. The gospel today is about where Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am you will be. And one of our students, her grandmother died a couple of weeks ago, so we offered the Mass for her grandmother. So it was a perfect gospel to speak to the children, and how easy it really was to speak to the children about, you know, the reality of life, and we're on the journey, and, you know, if we keep friendship with God, if we live in God's grace, if we obey the commandments, we take care of each other on the way, we live in truth, keep our eyes on the Lord, He's got His eyes on us, that loving gaze, that, you know, quoting scripture, eye has not seen, ear has not heard, nor so much as dawned on man what God has prepared for those who love Him. And I was trying to explain to them, because we had first graders, second graders, eighth graders, that the, you know, that it's the law of life that all things must die in order to be reborn or for this rebirth. And we experience it in nature every year. So I said, for example, I looked out my window this morning, or yesterday morning, I said, and I was so happy because something had happened to the trees outside my window. I said, what do you think happened? nobody would say anything. I said, what do you think happened? You know, are they taking note what's going on? And nobody said anything. Maybe they were shy, but you know, the little ones are more spontaneous, and they want to answer
everything.
Never your question. They want to
say something.
They want to say something. But and the little ones did ask some nice questions anyway, you know, about the, because we were talking about the family and more people waiting for us on the other side than those left behind. And, you know, and that while we're talking about Sony Meyer's grandmother and Sabitella, and it was a beautiful name. I don't know. This doesn't sound right now. Sonny Martin. Anyway, whatever. But the one of the students said, well, tried to remind me that, well, we're all part of that family, you know, which was good because I said, oh, then they're catching it, you know. They're catching it. So, but I said, so what happened to the tree? What's going on? And nobody said anything. I says, but, you know, I saw these, you know, the budding forth of these beautiful, bright green leaves. As a sign to us that, you know, the this new life is coming forth, you know. So I said, if you just go back to the autumn, everything was, those leaves were beautiful red, beautiful orange, beautiful yellow. And it was as if God was saying, you know, let the death come. Let the death come. It has to come. It must come. That new life can come forth. And so I said, you know, no sooner do we enjoy that beauty, but those leaves, they fall from the trees, and mm-hmm. we find ourselves in the dark and the cold of winter,
yeah.
Barren trees, no flowers, no green grass. But I said, look what's happening, you know, and at the blink of an eye, you know, we're now we got the leaves on the trees, at least they're coming mm-hmm. on the trees, the grass is turning green, the sky is a beautiful blue, mm-hmm. We feel the warmth of the sun. So it's, you know, it's we've got to just accept the fact that this is the reality mm-hmm. and that that the best awaits us. Yeah. And because we know that, then we have to be, or we want to be committed to life and take care of each other and have that fear of God, which is the beginning of wisdom. I told mm-hmm. them, you know, it's not that God is this horrible judge or this... policeman, a bat. As you mentioned, I don't really want to use the word police officer because they've been so besmirched, mm-hmm. you know. But the point is that, you know, God has loving gaze on his creation, but he knows that we live in this time, the little time that we have, where we're afflicted. You know, we suffer in the mind, in the body, in the soul, in the spirit. I said, you know, the grandmother had suffered. She had been very, very sick, and so her body was in a lot of suffering, but death is a Passover. You know, this is the idea of Passover, that we don't necessarily use the word death. It's the Passover. It's a passing from here to there. And that, you know, there are more people, as I say often, you know, more people waiting for us on the other side than those who are left behind. So it was just, it was nice to be able to speak to the children, and they were very attentive. You know, yeah. they were very attentive, and they could follow. They mm-hmm. could follow what I was saying. I think, I don't think I know they did because they, you know,
could tell.
You could tell. You could tell. Mm-hmm. You could tell they were interested. You yeah. know, because these are realities, right?
Sure.
But anyway, now why did I get into that? I don't know. What was my first point?
Because we were talking about how beautiful the weather is.
Like, yes, it's exactly.
The trees. And even yesterday I noticed the birds, a lot of birds are in
the
new
birds
new
are
life.
Singing.
The birds are singing. And I saw this beautiful cardinal.
Wow.
And they say every time you see a cardinal, it's like a sign.
Was that
from Tupich?
Heaven. Cardinal Tupich?
No, the bird, the red.
Those birds, they bring you stuff, don't they? Or is that the squirrels?
Both of them, but it's just beautiful to see the knife coming.
Exactly. Well, see, Christina's got this beautiful big window mm-hmm. in her office, and she needs no curtains because she's got the tree that envelops the entire mm-hmm. window. So she sees all the birds. Remember that year that we had the eagle that was killing, that was attacking other bird?
Was it a hawk? It was a hawk.
A hawk. That was so sad.
Yeah, and
we watched the murder, the killing of a little bird.
And that was, it was interesting because the hawk, now I understand where the saying comes. He was watching like a hawk.
Yeah.
Because he was, the hawk was on the tree for an hour, over an hour. And I was like, wow, that's interesting. And it's a big bird, bigger than the other birds that usually hang out over there, the trees right. over there by my office. But, and they kept on looking, you know, just, it was watchful. And I'm like, what, is he watching me or what? Making sure I'm doing my work.
Sure.
But
we put him out there for that purpose.
Yes. Right. So, but I
we have our ways.
Yes. Right. You use nature.
Mm-hmm.
But it was watching its dinner.
Yeah. It's dinner.
It's dinner because then this big truck, and thank God I didn't go. I was thinking of going down there and he would have attacked me probably.
Yeah.
This white truck was coming, a van, and the bird just took his dinner and they flew away.
So maybe I'm probably mistaken. I got the story wrong. He didn't kill any. Did he kill a bird? I thought he did kill
he
a
did.
Bird.
He did. It was somebody was saying that it was a pigeon, mm-hmm. but that the heads are a delicatessen for the hawk. So
he scooped it up and then ate him on the side.
The bird was headless. There was feathers all over.
God, that's
so he was, that was just, you know, nature.
Okay. Gosh, I remember when it reminds me of I was in the mission in Oaxaca, and this very poor family, beautiful, beautiful family, I went to visit them, and they had chickens running through the house and all that. They had little dirt floors for the house, yeah. You know, but beautiful, humble people, deeply religious. And she invited me over, and Father Gibson, Father Jim, he was there too. And so we were invited over for a dinner, and she killed one of those chickens. And we were eating, and she was actually eating the whole, from the inside the head of the chicken.
Oh,
you know,
yes,
because you say delicacy, you know, and it's
yes, and they over there, especially the poor, they eat everything.
They don't
waste anything. They eat the insides, and then the feet, the chicken feet, and all of that.
It's noontime, and I used to be hungry at this time, and now I'm not.
But that's how, because of the poverty, they don't waste anything.
Well, and that stuff, it's not bad for you. It's just the way it is.
My parents eat all that. I'm not used to it.
I had a quinceañera, and they brought me a soup. Do you remember that? Legs, two feet.
The feet are hanging out.
The chicken's feet were in the soup.
Right.
Yeah.
And I had never
flavor.
Seen it. Well, you can know you can eat,
sure.
Eat
really?
Those. Yeah.
You can. I'm not into that.
But I'm not into that.
But that was but she's got this beautiful tree, so
yes.
You know, once the leaves come on, it's so beautiful.
And I love seeing, you know, nature, God's creation. You see the birds, there, a whole bunch of birds there and there, and how they take care of each other. I noticed that too. They really are there for, and it teaches us humans
should
many things.
It should, but that's we live in a concrete jungle, and so having that tree there is really. A beautiful thing.
Yes, yes.
So anyway, some really, really exciting, good news. But before I get that, I was just looking at a number of things here. You know, the world is in rebellion. The church is at the cross.
Mm.
I don't know if we may have talked about it a few days ago, but 10 ways to grow in friendship with Jesus and Mary, the Blessed Virgin. How do we nurture that intimacy and maintain intimacy with God? And I think this is maybe we'll get to that. Yesterday we talked about the four powerful prayers for the tired and the weary soul, which is most of us at some time or another. And I'll tell you, after that show, I was really upbeat, and I got a lot done yesterday, so I felt really, really good. But the good news is what's going on in Korea.
Yeah,
that is really. I don't know if people are putting attention to that, but it's.
I'm trying not to look at this yet until it's, you know, but, really. Well, I'm surprised.
But the fact that I just think as I was reading the articles, I was thinking of the need for this prayer for conversion and for peace. You know, because the world. We were talking about this yesterday. How the world is in such a. We talk about it all the time. I think it was more the other day, Tuesday. You know, I was so somber and sad, and you know, just feeling down in the dumps. You know,
Rose
used to say. But the life is up and down. You know,
it's
up and down. It's like the weather changes, we change.
Yes.
And but it's just sometimes you're just inundated with so much sadness and so many.
Tragedies.
Because one of the things with the kids, they're saying we're not condemned to be here forever, but we're so committed to life because we know where we're going.
Mm-hmm.
We got to keep our eyes on the goal, and that's the whole purpose of the incarnation and the Paschal mystery. Jesus took on our flesh to lay out the plan, remind us that we have to obey the commandments of God. They're given to us to protect us in a society today that has no regard for those laws, the Decalogue. People may say, well, it's, and they'll often say this, there's only, what is the, because Jesus was asked this question, what's the greatest law? And he said, love the Lord your God with your mind, your body, your soul, and your spirit, with your whole being, love God, which is the Shema from the Old Testament. And then Jesus went on to say, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. And so people will stop there, and we so superficialize love that we don't realize that love really is a binding, we're bound to, well, for us, it certainly is, if we espouse relationship with Christ, if we're truly in relationship with God, we fear God, which is, again, the beginning of wisdom. That means we have utmost respect for God. Then we're bound to genuine freedom, which comes from our adherence to the laws of God. Fulfill, obey, complete. Complete isn't probably the proper word. I'm trying to think exactly what words to use from Scripture. Mm-hmm. But to fulfill, love the laws mm-hmm. of God. As you love God, you love God's law. Love the law. And Jesus re-emphasizes that exactly in the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. He says, I'm not taking any of this away. You know, but we live in a society that will superficialize love, because mm-hmm. our concept of love, Christian love, is sacrificial love, mm-hmm. and it's charity, justice, and truth. Truth and justice, mm-hmm. truth, love, justice, and mercy should characterize our lives. This quest for God, a quest for the truth, and so. We live it, so we'll say, well, yeah, love God, love your neighbor, and it's interpreted too often, sadly to say, because there are consequences, as we see already. This is part of the sadness, because we're seeing the consequences of this of no regard for God's law, or to superficialize, to omit the word sacrificial to love, and just. Mm-hmm. live a kind of permissive love that, you know, you can do whatever you want. That what's important is you do your thing and I do my thing, and we love each other. And this is more and more what's characteristic of the society we live in, until we challenge people to truth. God is truth. God is love. The commandments of God. And then all of a sudden, it's we're not being a loving people, we're being hateful, and you know, it's a whole stuff. You know, if we can bully people into believing that they're bigoted, that they're hateful, that they're racist, then you know, we silence them. Mm-hmm. And granted, in all truth, in reality, there is racism, bigotry, hate, evil. But when Christianity, authentically lived Christianity, Catholicism lived with authenticity, which is a love for God, a love for the laws of God, and a desire to fulfill those laws, because in doing so, I'm showing my love for you. I'm adding not to the chaos or the divisiveness or to the rude noise of the world, but I prove myself then to be, as Jesus said, a leaven, to be the salt, to be a light in the darkness. So we want to superficialize, if we're going to use the word love in reference to God, if we still believe in God, then it's a kind of love that is permissive. You do your thing, I do my thing, no judgment. That's why when the Pope from the plane, in regard to the whole question of somebody who had fallen into homosexuality, and he said, well, who am I to judge? To this day, that's been taken out of context. What he says is, because see, the point is, and we have to, and see, this is hard for me, not hard for me to say, but it's mm-hmm. hard for people to hear, yeah. unfortunately, but we're called to be chaste. We're called to live lives of chastity, to have pure hearts, a pure mind, a pure body, a pure soul, a pure spirit. I say often that adulthood is, or should be, trying to get back to the innocence mm-hmm. of our childhood, before we were contaminated or tainted or victimized, or before we gave free rein to the flesh or followed our own inclinations. We live in a personal rebellion against these things of God, these mm-hmm. sacred things of God. And so if we live with authenticity, then it is sacrificial love. It is there is no place for racism or bigotry or hate. There's no place. But it's also not a permissive love. And so if I say, you know, if I'm raising my children, and okay, just so just because everybody's doing it, you can do it as well, or because society says it's okay, but it's really kind of, I read it the other day, I think yesterday, about, it's actually a good article, maybe one of these days I'll talk about this, but about using the word, for instance, devout Catholic, how the media uses that in a very flippant kind of a way. Mm-hmm. But it has two different connotations. They'll use it as a way to be critical of a Catholic. Oh, he's a devout Catholic. He's opposed to the redefinition of marriage, or he's opposed to abortion. He's opposed to divorce. All this stuff, right?
Yes.
He's a devout Catholic, which means he's completely out of touch mm-hmm. with reality, yes. with the modern world. He's living in some antiquated time, long gone. And that's a devout Catholic, which means he is bigoted and hateful because he doesn't accept all these things. But that's just not the case, mm-hmm. you know? We're fallen people, sinful people. We have issues. There is disorder in life, in our person. If I say to you that your life is disordered, you know,
mm-hmm.
if somebody says to me, and I remember this priest, I was in confession, mm-hmm. and he asked me in the confessional, he said, have you lived a good, holy life? And I said, how did that conversation actually go? I think I said, yeah, I think I've been a good priest. And he says, well, something to the effect, or at least it made me think, well, that's your problem, you know? You've got to have a bit more sensitivity to where there is disorder in your life, because our whole life is a process whereby we're being converted and being purged and being transformed and being sanctified. And scripture, if the scripture says, if the Bible says that the just man, that's a holy man, a saintly man, sins seven times a day, and yet sin is offensive to us. If I say, you know, well, this is a sin. You're fornicating, you know. We don't even mm-hmm. use the word anymore.
No.
That's a biblical word. You know, you're fornicating. You're mm-hmm. you're sex outside of marriage and all this kind of stuff, which is the norm in the society. And yet we don't, this is why I say we don't cave and compromise. We have great sensitivity to how difficult it is in society today. For this reason, I believe that Jesus is saying, I am a merciful God, but I know, too, the nature of the human heart, and I know, two, that this may not end well, and oftentimes it doesn't. Mm-hmm. But he can bring good out of evil and light out of darkness if we just would humbly submit, surrender, and trust our lives to God. Again, I go back to the children. You know, we're giving them the green light to do just about anything, you know, and it's not good. This is that goes back to the point, and then we'll take it to break. God isn't a permissive God. Parents are not permissive. If I were a parent or as a priest, I can't be permissive because I don't want to offend you. I don't want to hurt your feelings. But I try to find a sensitive way to speak about these truths, knowing that we do live in a very disconcerting time. This is a difficult time. And there's a lot of ignorance out there. Oh, I know I was going back to this, the idea of devout. Mm-hmm. So on one hand, it's very negative, you know, mm-hmm. devout, because if you're a devout Catholic, that means you're pro-marriage, you're pro-life, you're you're living in a just way,
mm-hmm.
you have a sensitivity to all peoples, you know, we don't make a distinction between this color, that color, this nationality, yeah. that nationality, we see that we're all people of God, created in the image and likeness of God, and so we want to do what we can to uphold the dignity yeah. of others. But people will compartmentalize, you know. But the other thing about being devout is they'll use this as a, like they use, mentioned, maybe you guys know who this is. I have no idea who she is. She's some kind of an actress, but she's a porn star. And not, this is not Stormy Daniels, but this is some other porn star. And she considers herself a devout Catholic. So there was a whole, figure it out. You know, she may be a Catholic, certainly, but I guess it goes back to the question, who of us are really devout Catholics? If we're, certainly if we're sincerely, humbly trying to live the faith, and we keep before us the laws of God, mm-hmm. which are not, you know, again, all you have to do is go to any movie, anywhere, yeah, anytime, and you can see right there that there's little regard for the laws mm-hmm. of God. What's being, I mean, they've been obliterated from our courthouses. They once were in all the court. It's all been gone. It's gone now, you know. Anyway, so, but there was a whole litany of people who they call devout, but they justify a way of behaving, a way of life that is very contrary to the laws of God or the teachings of Christ. And of course, what's often said is, well, those are man-made teachings. I go to Mass, but I don't agree with 90% of what the priest says, you know, but I, you know, he's got to say what he's got to say, because that's the kind of society mm-hmm. we live in today. And so, you know, it's one or the other, you know, but this is a hard time. It's a hard time to know how best to convey, to communicate in a way that people are going to hear and people are going to want to respond. I think it's going to eventually end up that we collectively hit rock bottom mm-hmm. before we then, okay, I got to, you know, create the space and listen and, you know, humbly allow my hand to be taken by the hand of God and lifted out of this abyss, out of this mm-hmm. darkness, into some light. And this is where God is always, always waiting. We're, if, as they say in Spanish, tercos, no? Muy tercos, mm-hmm. stiff-necked. Stiff-necked. Hard-hearted, stiff-necked. I think it's more stiff-necked, right?
Yes.
Tercos. Stiff-necked people. And this is, we see this through the whole of history.
Stubborn.
Biblical history. Stubborn. And if we don't humble ourselves, you know, there are consequences.
Yes.
And so God is in truth trying to save us from ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
And not only save us from ourselves, but he's, you know, so as I read yesterday, the millennials are now blaming the baby boomers for their problems, and rightfully so, perhaps.
Yeah.
But the point is, there are consequences.
Mm-hmm.
So as a generation of baby boomers, we think we can do it this way, our way, because this was really the first generation that collectively walked away from God and from the commandments of God. And so we're going to do it this way, but there are consequences. Or if parents raise their children in as many baby boomers have, because we're part of it is we're victims of the society we live in. If we're more tuned into internet and this kind of stuff, the media, and not so tuned into sacred scripture,
mm-hmm.
the teachings of the church, we don't go to Mass, but we're Catholic. We're devout Catholic because maybe I go to Mass at Christmas and Easter. So I consider myself a devout Catholic. But if we're not being nurtured in the faith, then we're not living the faith in reality. And so there are consequences. So when the church speaks in truth or a priest speaks in truth, it can be offensive. So you try to speak in a way that's not going to be offensive. That's why I always say, I think I say it here on the radio, but I say it at Mass. Listen, if I'm going to speak about something that's a hard teaching, I says, we're all affected by the world we live in. So nobody goes through this life unscathed. So if I speak about divisiveness within the marriage, the divisiveness, mm-hmm. divisiveness, mm-hmm. The marriage is divided, families are divided. Yesterday I said, is there such a thing as a functional family? It seems like so many families today are dysfunctional. If we speak about conflict in the area of sexuality, well, we're affected by the world we live in. But we have to humbly say to ourselves, okay, yeah, there is disorder in my life, you know, that that I'm not living a chaste life, or that perhaps I am addicted, perhaps to the pornography, or to maybe swearing, or that I do I find myself that I am putting this people to the fringe, so there could be this racism or this bigotry. We got to humbly look at ourselves and say, okay, those are some big things, but there's all kinds of things in the course of a day. How do I treat people in the course of the day? When people come into my life, how do they leave? Now, does that mean, again, I don't want to insinuate that, you know, this superficial understanding of love that is a permissive love. So, you know, okay, yeah, we have to respect everybody and uphold their dignity as human beings, whether they're living virtuous lives or whether they're living a life of vice. Mm-hmm. We have to respect people, uphold their dignity, but that doesn't mean we approve or that we don't challenge in some way. Find a way to and sometimes I think this is what God does. Is okay, because you are a tercos, you're stubborn, stiff-necked. Okay, do it your way, go your way. And I mean, I can't. I wrote a lot of this for this week, and I what do you do when you want to proclaim the good news of genuine freedom when people don't want it? Because right now they're enjoying a false freedom. But just how long can that false freedom last? And that would be the free reign of the flesh. That would be the, adopting or embracing different ideologies that have no place, no space for God or for the commandments of God. The bedrock of a civil society is law and order, justice and mercy, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's the bedrock of a society. But there has to be this moral fiber that binds us together. And if it's disintegrated or it's not respected and it's just, you know, permissiveness, you do your thing, I do my thing, we're all good people, no judgment, then, so God says, okay, go that way and see where it takes you.
Mm-hmm.
And for maybe a few years or maybe for a decade or maybe for 50 years, it's going to be fine, just fine for you. But eventually, you know, like that young man who says, although he was obeying, he obeyed the laws of God. When he said, what must I do to inherit life everlasting? And Jesus says, have you obeyed the commandments? It's a very interesting question. First, he says, why do you call me good? Because he's a good teacher. He says, there's only one who is good, that's your Father in heaven. In other words, he's pointing beyond himself. He hasn't revealed his messianic identity. Your God is good. You have to, first God first. God is good, you know. And he says, have you obeyed the commandments? Have you fulfilled the commandments? And interesting, the young man said, yes, of course, because that's what we're supposed to do. So from the time I was little, he says, I've obeyed the commandments. And Jesus says, very good. He says, now I want you to give me your life. Give me your life. Follow me. And the interesting thing is, the young man went away sad, because he had too much and he couldn't let go. And Jesus just looked on him lovingly. And that's kind of where we're at, I think, in a big way, you know? Okay, we're just a sadness that we can't, you know, what you taste, you see the goodness of God. Something in Jesus drew this man to Jesus, but he couldn't let go of these things that had
attachments.
They were inordinate attachments. We call it inordinate attachments. We have to be detached from things. Anyway, we got to take a break. We're well into the hour. And I tell you this, the good news, which is really, really beautiful. Don't go away. We'll be right back on Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ.
We at Winds of Change thank everyone who donated during our pledge drive. Please keep us in your prayers and on the air by donating at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And click on the radio tab to donate securely to Winds of Change.
Thank you.
The Winds of Change. The Winds of Change.
On AM 750, WNDZ. And on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
St. Stanislaus Kostka is the sanctuary of the divine mercy, where you can enter into the presence of Christ 24/7. Every first Saturday afternoon will be a special opportunity for healing. At 4:30, bring your petitions for our Blessed Mother's intercession as we pray the Rosary. Then, at 5, we share the body of Christ in the Holy Mass. Also, at 5:30, a Spanish Mass, followed by a Eucharistic procession, adoration, the Divine Mercy Chaplet, and an anointing. Enter into the sacred space of St. Stanislaus Kostka and place yourself before Christ for healing. On first Saturday afternoon, starting at 4:30, find St. Stanislaus Kostka, the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy, 2 blocks north of Division, on Noble, just off the Kennedy in Chicago, and find peace and healing.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. So the good news is, and I mean, this is, I think, just rather exciting, is that the North Korean, South Korea, had a, what would you call that, a summit.
Summit.
A historic summit. And Kim Jong-un, from the North Korean dictator, he crossed the border into South Korea to meet with President Moon Jae-in. Is that how you pronounce it? Moon Jae-in?
Yeah.
And it just is very beautiful. This is historic. This is the first time since the early 1950s.
Yeah.
And my father fought in that war, the Korean War. Mm-hmm. And basically the countries have been at war ever since. There's been there was a truce, but they were, you know, just completely divided. But we know that the tensions that have been going on, mm-hmm. especially in the last few years, really the last couple of decades, but it really has intensified around the whole question of nuclear, that North Korea becomes a nuclear power. And so now the president, who's the most hated man in the world, he really is, he's so hated, he's not going to get any credit for this.
No
way.
He shouldn't.
He shouldn't get any credit, no. But really, he tough-talked. When he was in South Korea, you know, say what you want, but the president, when he went to South Korea, I was so impressed by he said things nobody would say in regard to North Korea and what this dictator was doing to his people. And I mean, he went into detail, all substantiated, but spoke very, you know, the bully pulpit, I guess, is what they call it. And I remember hearing that, and I thought, if this man isn't affected, this is going to go one way or the other. This is going to anger Kim Jong-un to no end, that he's going to do something horrible, or he's going to be humbled into, or this could bring him to conversion. Let me just say that. There could be some, we don't know yet. But we do know that the Secretary of State Pompeo was there just a few weeks ago. But this is really historic, what's happening. And we have to pray. Well, so go back to the Blessed Virgin Mary. He said, pray for conversion, pray for peace in the world. And this is really at the beginning of the systemic atheism, communism, that really was, which again, this was a going away from God, a going away from the commandments of God, developing a political system that was, by its very nature, atheistic and hateful of religion, and the brainwashing of a people, the enslavement of a people, ultimately the massacre, the genocide of a people, not only the Jewish people, but millions of people in Soviet Union, in Poland, in China. And so rightfully, as this was all emerging into history, the Blessed Virgin appeared in Fatima and called to pray for the prayer for conversion and for peace. you know, cognizant of this atheistic, that atheism was becoming systemic atheism. And so what's happening here reminds me very much of what happened with the Soviet Union, when you had Reagan and Pope John Paul II, Gorbachev was
it was Gorbachev.
Gorbachev, yeah. But the eventual, I mean, just miraculous downfall of the Iron Curtain. Are there problems? Of course, there's still problems. But the fact is, the whole system of governance collapsed, or was converted. Still in need of a lot of, even in our own nation, we need a lot of conversion. So there's no political system that is perfect. But what's happening in Korea is quite astounding. And it seemed genuine. They met at the border. Kim Jong-un crossed over. The President Moon Jae-in from the South reached out his hand, took him by the hand, crossed him over the border.
Wow.
And then he said, well, when am I going to go to North Korea? And Kim Jong-un took him by the hand and brought him back over the border to his side.
Oh.
I didn't see that. I just saw them shake.
It was amazing. And they talked about there was some apologies. There was, they said that they would work toward the denuclearization of the entire peninsula. They want to bring back these two nations into one nation. These people have been separated since the early 1950s.
Wow.
You know? And this has been the world's, I mean, one of the greatest threat to the world is, you know, what was happening in North Korea. And I just say that the president will get no credit because he's a hated man. Mm-hmm. With all his defects, and if he does anything right, it's not going to be recognized.
Not good enough.
But he that strong talk, in truth, yes, to the president is in South Korea near the border, speaking to the North, and you know, laying out all the atrocities being done, and he says, look, just compare and contrast the North from the South. I thought this is going to go one way or the other. But and then the Secretary, Mike Pompeo, even before he was legitimized yesterday, I think it was only yesterday, as the Secretary of State, but he was already in North Korea just a couple of weeks ago. I think it was Easter week. Mm-hmm. And so the diplomacy is happening in a big way. And now this is all in anticipation of the president meeting with Kim Jong-un. This is unheard of, you know? So I'm just saying, this is good news. If we can't applaud this and put our attention to this in prayer, because it's the ramifications, but it's a sign of hope, you know, so that we have to believe in the power of prayer. We have to believe in the power of diplomacy. We have to believe in the power of a civilized dialogue. And see, this is what we were lacking in our own country, and the church, as well as in the political sphere and just in the society. We do not have today civil discourse.
No.
We don't speak in a civil way. People are hypersensitive, supersensitive. We tend to lack objectivity in trying to figure out, and this is why oftentimes, you know, even on the radio, I might be stuttering, I might be, because I don't always know. I look at things from this side, from that side. I think if I were looking at just one side, we were talking yesterday about the two camps, right? Mm-hmm. If I were looking at one camp alone, then I would, I'd be probably impassioned and, you know, gung-ho on, you know, advocating or promoting or perpetuating that agenda. Mm-hmm. But if I have to listen to both sides, then I get confused, because I'm wondering, well, wherein lies the truth? There's a little bit of truth here, there's a little bit of truth here, or there's a lot of truth here, not so much here, but, you know, depending on the issues, especially when we get into the whole border question, the question of immigration and all that. We're an immigrant country. I've worked my whole life as a priest. My whole priesthood has been with immigrant people, documented and undocumented. So, you know, I'm trying to look at it from many, many perspectives. But anyway, it's very interesting. So, but it is it's a challenging time. It's a challenging time, and I guess it goes back to this, you know, God, our relationship with God, nurturing a proper relationship with God, which means we have to create the space, and we have to wait, and we have to listen. We have to listen, and that's why I say, okay, so looking at these all the stuff going on in the world, because we don't separate ourselves from the world. We're in the world. We're in the trenches. We're not going to be pushed to the fringes of society, and the church is not simply about you know, because this, the as happened in communist countries, as could happen here, as seems to be happening here, is okay. Don't delve into the political stuff. You know, just go to your church and you pray, but don't bring any of your, you know, your defense of life, your defense of marriage, your defense of the immigrant, your defense of whatever it may be. Don't bring it into the public square. Keep it private within. You just go and pray, and but don't. There isn't the freedom to speak. Can't speak freely, because if you do, you know, so that we can talk. Let's try to, you know, let's find some common ground. It's often in today's society totally rejected. Yeah. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does. I mean, I find that, not to rehash yesterday's show, but I find that a lot when I talk to people. I mean, depending on what you say, you can say something because you get, you know, tossed in this camp or tossed in that camp. And I do. I like to see the full picture. I like to see both sides. I like to listen to what people say.
Sure.
Good or ill, you know, I want to hear.
Yeah,
I can't shut you up.
For instance, the question of marriage, the defense of marriage. I mean, I think this is, I can't believe, I'm still shocked that so quickly our society has redefined marriage. Now, to say that, you know, and to be then written off as anti-gay or anti-lesbian or that I have no sensitivity or no acceptance of other people. That's just not the case.
Well, the fact that you shouldn't even be talking about it. I mean, that's ridiculous. You come in contact with people all the time. It's not that you preach what they should do and should not do, but in a way, that's our faith. There's a wrong and right in things, but it's not like you run out there and say, oh, I can't accept you because you're this, that, or anything. No, we're people.
We're people.
We're all flawed, so, every one of us.
So we try not to categorize and say, okay, these people here, these people there, that, you know, everybody's put in their little category.
Right.
We're going to keep them bound to that. You know, I've said this before, but like if a person, and I'm going to use the word conflicted, but let's say they're not conflicted. Let's say they just, because society accepts, you know, this is who I am and this is how I do my life and live my life. And I forgot who was the actor yesterday who said she's a pansexual. In other words, it can be any kind of thing.
Right.
Whatever feels good, she does. And that's kind of becoming more and more socially acceptable now, too. Mm-hmm. You know, we're going to redefine all that. But if I say to somebody, you know, if they're going to be so focused on their sexuality or they bring, you know, somebody says, I am a homosexual. Okay, well, you're dealing with me, but I'm not looking at you as a homosexual.
Right.
My focus is not on that. I look at you as a person, a total person, and that's who I treat. You know, this other stuff, you know, whatever. But anyway, it just but today it's so hard.
Yeah.
It's so hard to know how to speak to people. We will take a break. I can't believe this hour is going really, really fast. So we'll be right back, and I guess we're going to wrap up because this will be just the last of the commercials. I guess a commercial break.
Mm-hmm.
All right, everybody, don't go away. We'll be right back. I'm Father Anthony. You're listening to Listener Supported Winds of Change and AM 750 WNDZ.
St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is the official sanctuary of the Divine Mercy in Chicago. Founded by Polish immigrants in the late 1800s, this historic church is more commonly known as St. Stan's. One church, many cultures, in that masses are held in English, Spanish, and Polish. The church is two blocks north of Division on Noble, just off the Kennedy. St. Stan's has been so prominent in the history of the church in Chicago that the Kennedy Expressway was even built around it.
St. Stan's is easy to get to. It is the sanctuary for quiet prayer before the celebrated iconic monstrance. For Mass and confession times and special events, please visit our new website at ststandschurch.org. That's ststandschurch.org. And while you're on the homepage, feel free to click on the donations tab to help in the continuing restoration of St. Stan's.
The Winds of Change on AM 750 WNDZ and on the World Wide Web at windsofchangeshow.com.
How long has it been since you have been to church? Busy schedule? Work? Or just lost interest? To be Catholic is not just merely attending Mass as just another weekend activity to be checked off the to-do list. Participation in the sacred liturgy gives you the opportunity to be intimately connected to Christ through the Holy Eucharist. You can also cleanse yourself of sin through the sacrament of reconciliation as a baptized Catholic. Come before the iconic monstrance to be in Christ's presence in the sacred silence of the Sanctuary of the Divine Mercy. St. Stanislaus Kostka Church is open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. St. Stan's is just off the Kennedy, 2 blocks north of Division on Noble. Come back to Christ through the sacred liturgy and his gift of the sacraments at St. Stan's.
All human life is precious, and all humans are created equal, but not all vitamins are created equal. One company's vitamins stand taller than the rest. At For Life Vitamins, we promote health from the womb to the tomb and support the pro-life movement. Dr. Christosik created For Life Vitamins to optimize your healthy habit of taking vitamins and protect the health of unborn children, the infirmed, and the elderly by donating 10% of sales to support Father Bush's life-changing ministry. Go to forlifevitamins.com or call 888-879-1190. Dr. Christosik has helped over 13,000 patients reclaim their health with For Life's vitamins. Go to forlifevitamins.com or call 1-888-879-1190. Simply change your vitamin company and save a life. Go to forlifevitamins.com or call 1-888-879-1190.
Welcome back, everybody. Thanks for being with us. Boy, this hour has gone really, really fast.
Yes.
So I'm not getting into it. There's all these other things I thought we were going to get into. But again, just let the Spirit kind of lead us. We hope it's the Spirit of God that leads us. But I was reading this, and this kind of goes into what I'm saying, because he said, well, how do we, because I often make reference to it, and it just struck me once when I was reading the Scripture, and Paul was a great evangelizer to the Gentiles, and he had established the church in Ephesus, I believe, either John or Paul, but Paul is the one who said this. He was leaving, and he spoke to the priests, and he says, you know, I'm leaving you, and I've got a clean conscience because I did not withhold from you the full counsel of God. You know, and today, you know, that struck me, and I thought, you know, and I think what Pope Benedict said too about exercising your prophetic office. This was in a private audience I had with Pope Benedict, and I thought, you know, absolutely, because so I was reading this article, and it's about what has happened. There's an old preacher's joke that says Peter preached one sermon and got 3,000 converts. I preached 3,000 sermons and have not gotten one convert. It's an old preacher's joke. Mm-hmm. But the fact is, we've got to be sensitive to the culture we live in. We've got to be attuned to what's going on. You know, we got to read the signs of the times. We have to listen. Everybody's flawed. You know, governments, some more than others, some more corrupt than others. In many ways, compared to many parts of the world, we still have a good semblance of civility, believe it or not, in our own nation. But it's really it's taken a hit. But we live, but because we live in these very sensitive times, this sensitivity, people insist on sensitivity. Maybe we become far too thin-skinned, but in the long run, good preaching should mold culture and cultural expectations, and we need to reintroduce biblical concepts that are often lost today. We need to reacquaint people with truths and realities bring back words that have been lost, like death and judgment, hell, sin, venial and mortal, repentance, conversion, accountability, and consequences. Because we've just softened everything. You know, again, God is love. Do what you want. You know, it's this. And move away from mere abstractions, which is very hard today. Move away from mere abstractions and generalities and speak clearly to the moral issues of our day. You know, deceit, envy, unforgiveness, greed, malice, yes, bigotry and hate, abortion, physical assisted suicide, fornication, adultery, you know, all this stuff. This is all very, very, very pointed in Scripture. And yet because we live in a society where this has all become socially acceptable for the most part and rather normal, it still doesn't mean that it's right. There are consequences to all these things. And this commentary went on to say that speaking to sin is the bad news that points to the good news and renders it even better. If we don't know the bad news, the good news is no news, right? Mm-hmm. And so people don't feel the need for religion because, you know, it's whatever, you know. Why do I? There's something about the sacrifice of the Holy Mass. We come acknowledging we are sinners in need of a Redeemer, in need of a Savior. We are sick. We need a physician, the divine physician. And so we come because I cannot do this without you, God. I need your grace. The kerygma, the preaching, is very basic. The basic message is simple. And I don't know who wrote this, you've got it bad, and that ain't good. But there's a doctor in the house, and his name is Jesus. He is the longed-for Messiah and Lord. If you will admit your need and invite him into your life through faith and the sacraments, he will go to work and save you from the mess you are and the mess you have made. And that's, I think, when going back to the show on Tuesday, is I was feeling that, you know, it's a mess what we've created. What we're creating for ourselves is a mess, you know. All kinds of idolatries, the free reign of the flesh, which St. Paul said, you give free reign to the flesh of its very nature will lust against the Spirit, and he gives a whole litany of all the things that will happen. And indeed it does. So even if we think we're good people, we do foolish and sinful things. And we have to acknowledge that. The mercy of God can seem glorious, and the medicine of word and sacrament can be precious if we realize that we ain't always good. And if you don't know the bad news, the good news is no news. So despite our claims to be relevant, to be sensitive, to be welcoming, we fail to connect with people and keep them if we don't give them the truth, even if they don't like it. And it's not about just who we are together as a people bound together, but it's also about our salvation, So anyway, with that, we have to say goodbye and have a nice weekend. It's going to be beautiful. Well, I don't know. They say it's going to rain tomorrow. Yeah. So. But anyway, God bless you all. Almighty God bless you, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Amen.
Ciao.
What's there to say when the world makes no sense? Do we search deeper truths or sit on the fence? Can you see? Can you see? Can you see the winds have changed? We marvel and flatter such meaningless thought. The shell appears strong, but the inside is rot. It's time to be stirred. The time is now. The